Now we're going to an interview that Brendan O'Scannell did earlier with David Moore, who's an astronomer and a regular contributor to Connemara Radio.
Now, as you know, here in the programme, we're delighted always to welcome David Moore from Astronomy Ireland, but there's a special treat in store for people in Connemara because David Moore will be in Clifton on the Station House Theatre Wednesday, the 21st of September, 10 a.m, and I'm delighted to welcome David to the programme once more. David, you're welcome to us here on Connemara Community Radio.
Thank you very much.
David, you're, as I say, we're very familiar to people on the radio with us here and on various radios and television programs, but to get to see you live is probably, for us in the West, a little bit unusual, but we're delighted to welcome you. Tell me a little bit about your talks and what you'll be talking about.
Well, it's a one-man show we've been running in theatres around Ireland. It's been very well received, sold out a number of venues, and we're going to try and explain to everybody the entire universe in about an hour, with lots of great visual slides, and link it in to a lot of Irish history. People will hopefully learn that the Irish invented astronomy, that we led the world in the 19th century, and that we're actually doing very good today, and indeed Astronomy Ireland is still the biggest astronomy club in the world relative to population, so the level of interest in astronomy here in this country is higher than anywhere else, and always has been for over 5,000 years.
Now, of course, the early people, as you say, when they were building their standing stones and their tombs and all of that, really knew an awful lot about the stars, the sun, the planets, and what was going on in the skies in general.
They certainly did. I mean, they knew the exact length of the year, which is even more important than us today knowing the age of the universe. I mean, we argue now is it 13.8 or 13.7 billion years old. That's the level of detail we're at today. That won't really affect your life too much if you don't know the answer. But back in the Stone Age, if you didn't know the length of the year at this far north, you would die because you wouldn't plant your crops at the right time and you couldn't survive the harsh winters that we have here. Humans shouldn't really exist this far north. We can only do it because we're technological. We can beat the cold by building shelters, keeping ourselves warm, but really most importantly, by growing food and storing it. There are a few insects that do things like that, but not on the scale that humans do. And most animals do things like hibernate, or they just don't come this far north. And we've conquered the whole planet, and it's the kind of technology we're going to use to conquer the universe. And I'll show you why the plans to do that from Ireland are still quite healthy.
So the early astronomers were presumably farmers, and then presumably some sort of a priestly caste who was there to kind of interpret what they actually saw. Well, that's the way you see it?
Yes, I mean, that was the reason for studying the stars back then. I mean, there may have been religious reasons. We don't know about those. There wasn't really a written record that we can follow as closely as we can with other civilizations. Over 5,000 years ago is just a bit too far back. But they certainly were farmers, and certainly knowing the seasons well was extremely important. You know the Irish weather. If you try and tell the season by how warm it is at an Indian summer or something like that, you could be out by months. So being able to count the number of days in the year to an accuracy of at least a quarter of a day a year was unprecedented. This was a major discovery. This is why we think they built Newgrange, that they had discovered this incredible fact, which literally kept them alive. And why not celebrate it, even if it was linked to perhaps some religious ceremony they had at the time? Perhaps they didn't understand why the calendar was the way it was. We do now. But when we jump forward to 1845, when we had the Hubble Space Telescope of its day, at Burren County Offaly, then astronomers from around the world came to Ireland, despite our weather, to see what could be seen at the edge of the universe. They knew the Earth was going around the sun, what the planets were up to, and they had an inkling of what the stars were doing, but they didn't know about galaxies and where all these fuzzy patches they could see, island galaxies, or nearby clouds of gas and dust. And even when they figured that out, they didn't know the universe was expanding. That happened in the 20th century. And here we are today worrying about things like dark matter, dark energy, black holes. All these things have Irish links, and I'll be trying to explain why they're important to us today.
And I know when we talk to you regularly, you inform us about various scientists working in all the different laboratories, not just with NASA, but the European Space Agency and all. So Irish people are really at the cutting edge in progressing us into the next generation.
We punch way above our weight in the international scheme of things. And one of the science managers for that spacecraft that's landing on Rosetta at the end of this month, and that had a fantastic 2-year run, he's from Mullingar, Another one is just building one of the biggest radio telescopes. It's so big it won't fit in one country, but the Irish branch is being built actually near Birr. And that was a young chap who used to come to astronomy on lectures, got his PhD, went to work for NASA, came back to Ireland, is now running the physics department in Trinity College. So we have people who are doing world-class work. We had the director of the European Southern Observatory in Ireland last week, and he's the richest astronomer, if you like, controls the biggest astronomy budget in the world. They're building a telescope twice as big as anything the Americans are building. And though Ireland's not a member yet, we are in negotiations to join, and we're hoping for a big announcement later this year if things go well. And that will put Ireland right back at the very front. We have access to the space telescopes because we're a member of the European Space Agency. We have the biggest ground-based telescopes in the world and the biggest radio telescopes in the world. We'll also probably join the particle accelerator at CERN, and there's practically nothing else in big science left. People will come to Ireland to do science, and why not? We have a huge science economy, 60% of our GDP. Agriculture and tourism are very important, but they are dwarfed by science. In fact, science is three times bigger than the construction industry was during the peak of the boom over a decade ago. So science is enormous in Ireland. People don't really realize it, but most of the big jobs going in this country are science and technology based. We have a fantastic heritage in that area, so I'll be hoping in the talk to not just explain the universe, but why Ireland is the place to study it and always has been, and the exciting times that lie ahead. Any kids in the audience stand a real chance of being the first person on Mars? I remember interviewing Neil Armstrong. He was just a young boy from a small town, nothing particularly special. He never thought he'd become the most famous person in history. Yet that's what he ended up being, and there's no reason why it couldn't be somebody from Clifton or anywhere else in Ireland, probably anywhere in the world, because it'll be an international team. But, you know, if you start young, it increases your chances.
Absolutely. And I know now the last time I met you, which was up in Castlebar, you had a whole collection of bits and pieces of space rock and dust and every sort of stuff with you. Will you be bringing some things like that as well for people to explore?
We'll be bringing some props, all right, but that was actually a fantastic exhibition run by the National Museum of Ireland, and they kicked off there at the Museum of Country Life, just outside Castlebar, and then that toured the other museums around the country and ended up back in Dublin. I think it's still on display in Dublin. There were some cutbacks, unfortunately, but hopefully, if it's not displayed at the moment, it will go back on display, because the Irish state does actually own pieces of Mars and the Moon. If you go onto our website and have a search around, you will find me holding a piece of the Moon and a piece of Mars. I've actually touched it, so I could say I've actually already been to Mars. Well, I've touched a piece of Mars anyway. I'm not sure they let people going to see the exhibits do that, but it's nice to know we own a piece of Mars already. And you can see bits of Mars in Ireland and the Moon as well, not to mention lots of more common space rocks, which you can actually buy online for just a few euros. So space comes down to us, but we very much want to go up to it, and that's one of the big thrusts of the talk I'm giving. It's to make it very real. It's not going to be a dry talk about facts and figures and astronomy. It's going to be about Tom Cruise, other Hollywood blockbusters, how to become a billionaire, and how to get the best high-paid career, even if you don't study astronomy, just by listening to what I've got to say. There's a bit in this talk for everybody.
Okay, well, David, the very best of luck with it, as I say. I'm looking forward to getting the reports back. But look, great, have a great time at Clifton.
I'm looking forward to it myself.
David Moore will be in the Station House Theatre tomorrow, Wednesday, the 21st of September, at 10 a.m. And as I say, it'll be wonderful to get along here to hear David talking live.
Well, thanks, Brendan, for that lovely interview.